Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
We want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read from verses 1 through 10, verse 16 through 20. Hallelujah. We're celebrating this morning the empty tomb. We celebrate the end of fear. Jesus met death head on. And they pulled his lifeless body off the cross. Carried it to the tomb, and on the third day he walked out of that tomb as the risen, victorious Son of God. So in Matthew 28, and now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, it was Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and I'll make this, let me go first, finish it, because I sometimes go ahead of myself. Mary Magdalene, another Mary, came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Behold, say behold.
Behold.
The Bible does not exaggerate. It says there was a great earthquake. And then the next sentence shows you the reason for that earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven.
That's glory.
There's just one angel. Say one angel. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I do love it. He creates an earthquake because that, and then just rolls that giant stone away and then sits on the stone. And his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. I mean, it was shimmering with light. See, we are now touching elements of the glory of the Lord. And it says, now he's coming from the presence of the Lord. And so his countenance is like lightning. So there's an earthquake and then beams of living light. That's really the glory. Say the glory.
The glory.
That he has been around the Lord, the glory of the Lord shining out of from this angel, and his clothing is shimmering with as white as snow, living light. And there have been a few times that I've had the privilege of being around that, and it's life changing. That it's you never, and I never want to recover from it. It just, you vibrate from it the rest of your life in one way or the other. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. So they just fell over. They didn't die, but they were like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid." That's because it'll scare the willies out of you to be around one of the mighty angels of God that has just moved the giant stone off the face of the tomb. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And as he said, Jesus said, "Come, See the, he's not, for he's risen as he said. As he said. So that means he had said he would rise.
Yep.
Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
So go, in a way, you could say that angel became the first tour guide in Israel.
I never thought of that before in my life. I have many times been on that tour.
For the editorial comment, but this is so awesome. And you know, there may be guards, dark forces, trying to stand against your heart and life, breaking loose in the reality of the presence of the resurrected one in and through you today. But I want to say the angel of the Lord has descended, and all those barriers can fall like dead men.
Amen. We have been, some of you have had a chance to go with us to Israel. One time, I was asked by CBN, by the Christian Broadcast Network, to help be one of their, if I could help lead their tour with Pat Boone. Pat Boone was the other leader with me. And he's a wonderful, humble man of God, loves Jesus. But we were the tour guide, and we were there at the Garden Tomb. They call it the Garden Tomb. And there are two, three other places that they say, well, this is where Jesus was buried, some other church traditions. But General Gordon, you might know some of the British history in the Holy Land, but he believed, and he helped lead some archaeological tours. But this is where the place of the skull is, right there, uh-huh. And you can see it. And we have had a communion with there at the Garden Tomb. So, but this is the tour guide. It is. Come see. He's not here.
And I also sent you on a rabbit trail touring around Israel. So verse 7 says, go quickly and tell his disciples.
Yeah. Verse 7. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee.
Jesus.
There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So I've given you the message.
Yes.
And now, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Fear and joy combined together.
Wow.
And ran to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Lord. Rejoice. Say, rejoice.
Rejoice.
That's some of the first words Jesus said.
Oh, Lord.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him.
Aww.
Say, worshipped him.
Worshipped him.
Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And then verse 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Say, they worshipped him.
They worshipped him.
But some doubted. I don't know why they
always
could do. And Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen.
So, this resurrection morning, what I want you to see is that the first thing. When they see Jesus, it says, behold Jesus, saying, rejoice. And when they saw him, Mary Magdalene, the ladies quickly ran up and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Isn't that something? One of the side comments, if I can make it, editorial, is that on that, don't take it too personally, gentlemen, that the men had gotten a little shaky. I just want you to take note. The one group that did not quit that easily were the women. Give the ladies a big clap, will you?
Oh, Lord. Come on.
The women really kept the faith. Mm-hmm. The other editorial comment I want to make in that context is, whatever big stone is around your life, this prophetic Easter season,
yes, amen,
more than ever,
hallelujah,
as we experience Liberty's miracle,
yes,
as we handled Noah today,
yes,
as we saw Cindy Schaefer,
yes,
this weekend,
yes, yes, yes,
God is in the business of removing the big stones. Supernaturally. Say supernaturally.
Supernaturally.
And you can be commissioned,
amen,
this morning to take that word and,
yes,
minister the power of the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And let every giant stone be removed from people's lives, from their businesses, whether it's from their bodies, spirits of infirmity, they will move. Here is the mighty angel himself coming and removing. We become so blinded often by the spirit of this age, and we spend time and energy and money seeking out things in the world,
yeah,
and yet cannot satisfy, really looking at the world, because God has put something in our hearts. It'll never be fulfilled until we run and fall at,
yeah,
the feet of Jesus, yeah, and worship
him. Yeah.
He is the defining point,
yeah,
of our souls. And that is one of the big words for this Easter season that we want to say to every soul and to every nation and people and tribe and,
hallelujah,
language. Worship the Lamb of God. Worship Jesus. There is nothing to compare with worshiping and beholding the glory of the risen Christ. They ran and held his feet and worshiped,
glory,
him. And some of us, I don't know if we can call it that way, but we on an emotional flatline sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And may the resurrection glory,
yes,
touch our lives.
Yes.
I invite,
mm-hmm,
everyone,
yes,
to get refreshed in this Easter morning and be completely captivated,
amen, Lord,
by the glory of the risen, mm-hmm, Savior. That we need to run once again,
yes,
and take him by the feet and worship Jesus. So, Lord, we worship you.
Yes, we do, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. And as we worship Him, I believe we get empowered more and more to love, admire, adore, appreciate the King of Glory.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
And there's an anointing that God wants to give His church, I believe. That Jesus is the mighty hero who has battled the powers of hell and death. And the reason He did so was God so loved the world.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And it's because of love that He was driven to go and battle every principality and power.
And give Himself up to death.
That's right.
And the penalty of sin in exchange for us. And at the same time, were it not for the reality of the resurrection, all of that would have meant nothing. It is the resurrection that makes that an eternal truth, a reality, and has loosed us, past, present, future, from everything that leads to death, glory, and separation from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That resounding in my spirit are the first words that Jesus said when He met folks. Rejoice. Tell your neighbor. Rejoice. Go and tell. And then look at your neighbor and say, lo.
Lo.
He is with you every minute, every day, every hour. And He's coming. Hallelujah. A historian named Andrew DeBlanco wrote a book called The Meditation of Hope, and weirdly enough, he's an atheist, but he was talking specifically about how Christianity has informed what has become or was the American dream. It was a very, very interesting book, but he makes a statement in there that he says, at the heart of any culture is its hope. And the resurrection, say the resurrection. The resurrection. The resurrection.
The resurrection.
Is the hope that we have. Is the hope that this world has. Is the reason that the church in the earth is the hope of the world. And it is the reality of the resurrection. And I, you know, you go back and read the different gospel accounts of the resurrection. And I mean, Jesus is... He's appearing all over the place to people. And for the first 100 years, until all of the eyewitnesses and people who had actually touched Him and were lived and went to church with the people who came up out of the grave and all of that, for the first 100 years, the church, this gospel, was absolutely unstoppable because of the testimony, not so much of the cross, but they had seen Him after the cross. They had eaten with Him, touched Him, talked to Him. Their uncles, their aunts, their children had come out of the grave and then gone on to live life again. And then it's like those guards. We're going to keep Him in there no matter what. He's dead, dead, dead. Oh, no, He isn't. The angel of the Lord has descended. And we pray today. Let there be another great cultural and personal earthquake to split open, to break open our hearts in every place and loose the reality of encounter with this Savior. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Means everything.
Hallelujah.
Means everything.
Glory. See, the thing also, I just want to make a theological point in this area, is that then it says in verse 16, the women run up and worship Him. They see the risen Savior. They had seen His dead body. They knew He had died. He had been buried. Now they see Him resurrected. They come and worship Him. Then the 11 disciples. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. And you don't, this is from the Hebrew tradition. Mm-hmm. These are people who have been brought up in the strict Hebrew traditions. You don't worship ordinary, just people. They worship, they were being taught to worship God. And so as they run, and then as they see the risen Savior, they worship him. They are recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God. They know, and Jesus himself said, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you worship. Now, as they run and worship, they recognize Jesus is Lord, and he is God. Yes, Lord. Lord, yes, Lord. We honor you.
Yes, Lord.
This day, the risen Savior, and declare your Lord,
Lord
and your God.
And God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so this Easter morning, we want to connect with that. That Jesus is not just a mere man, not just a philosopher, not a theologian, not some kind of, even a nice prophet. But from, he is the one from everlasting to everlasting. He is God Almighty. Through whom all things and for whom all things exist.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is Lord and he is God. And this is not just some theological point, but I want you to get it in your innermost being.
Yes.
And that you are defined, that every molecule of your being is defined. Jesus is Lord. He is God Almighty. I'll give you a little incident. Way back, when I had those experiences, God, and then the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I had those experiences in the glory, and part of it was my mother. One of the things the Lord said, I'll summarize, but she was dying with bone cancer. Mm-hmm. And the Lord healed her, and she lived. That Hindu woman came to Jesus and lived 26 more years. So she was healed. She was in England at that time. But I experienced some of these, and I knew, one thing I knew, Jesus is Lord God Almighty. Now, I was just a young guy in graduate school, but I started fellowshipping, and the people have been healed, and they would call me a different thing. And I remember I had been ministering to people in Brownfield, Texas, coming late at night. I'd gone to bed around 4 in the morning, and I got a phone call around 7:15 or so, and it was a group of pastors that were meeting. I usually would try to get to be with them for fellowship on a Saturday morning. And they called me and he said, Brother Mahesh, we need you. Please come. I said, What's the matter? And they said, we're dealing with a demon. And I said, well, it was 7 pastors. But they were fully ordained that. And that said, we need you. Come and help us cast this demon out. I said, you are 7 pastors. You don't need me. I was, feeling so groggy. And they said, please don't argue. We are scared. And I remember.
It's like the theme of the Lone Ranger is running in the background. Right? Dun-dun-dun.
So I drove to this address, it was in Lubbock, Texas, I remember. And they had told me also, there were no cell phones, it was just the regular phones at that time. But they had told me, please, when you come, come by the back door. And so I came in and I found all seven pastors hiding in this closet where the laundry was and all. And I said, what are you doing here? It's because he's out there. And in the main sitting room was a man that had been praying, and the demons had come to the surface, and the demons were talking. And I said, well, why didn't you guys do my, please, you pray. So I went in, and I've talked about it in other times, but I looked in, he started talking, the demon had come to the surface, mm-hmm. And, oh, you are a pretty boy. I mean, it's...
So, is that was the original, you're the good-looking evangelist.
No, I will not take that.
We're just learning all kinds of things today.
I do not receive that.
And you know what's really funny is that the pastors were hiding in the closet.
They were. And this thing had come out of the closet, believe me. Anyway, and I'm summarizing things, but basically, I said, now, say with me, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. He said, I want to fellowship with you. I said, if you have fellowship, the blood of Jesus cleanses. Can you say the blood of Jesus? And it started screaming, twisting, and then big scream, the demon came out and left that man, and he was totally delivered, praise God, from everything.
And all the pastors came out of the closet.
But the only reason I want to mention this is that I knew I knew that Jesus is God Almighty. He is Lord. He is God, and in his name, you have authority. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
So, in Matthew 28, then, as he is the risen Savior, yes. He gives the Great Commission as God Almighty, and he says, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, go. This is God talking to us, saying, all authority in heaven,
hallelujah,
and in earth,
hallelujah,
has been given. Say authority.
Authority.
Not only just on earth, but in heaven,
yes,
is given unto this one, the risen Savior. All of it. Here he says, all authority. Say all of it.
All of it.
That's amazing, astounding. And this in his name, therefore, you have been authorized. You, and therefore, and then later we'll see, he also says, you shall receive power. So you get authority and you get power from the risen Savior. God Almighty.
Yes.
And get it inside you this morning, from in your innermost part. And we want to therefore declare on the World Wide Web and wherever the signals can go, and it goes all across the world, that there is to every shadowy force in our nation, in all of the nations, right now, that you have to be gone, that the Lord is Jesus. He is the risen Savior, the King of glory. He has absolute authority, and he has authority, absolute authority over my life, over your life, over every life in the nations. And it says there is a one of my favorite scriptures, I often quote from it, read from it, is in Colossians chapter 1. We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him, finds its purpose in him. You see, in Matthew 28, one angel just coming down creates a whole earthquake. And with a fingertip, but he just moves that stone and sits on it. Jesus has at his command 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 times a million angels at his commander. He is the commander in chief, the Lord of hosts, the armies of the living God. This is the risen Savior that we worship. So Easter shows us who has authority and who is empowering you and authorizing you. When you lay hands on people, when you the healing team, the prophetic team, the deliverance team, know that it is Jesus, Lord God Almighty, who has all authority, has empowered you and blessed you. May that King of Glory. I am praying more and more. I'm welcoming the glory of this King, this mighty Savior.
Yes.
So we want to declare his authority, his awesomeness. He is the risen Savior. He is the awesome God. He is the awesome Savior. He is the awesome healer. He is the awesome provider. He is the awesome deliverer. And so this is the Easter declaration we ought to make over ourselves, our lives, over everything that we have oversight over, and we declare it prophetically over every nation today. Jesus has all authority. So may we be delivered from every spirit of wishy-washiness, of lukewarmness. Yeah. We want to have a fresh revelation, just like those ladies did and the disciples, and run and worship him. But in that worship, it is not just some kind of religious worship. It is, we get an impartation of authority, of empowering to go into all the world and declare Jesus is risen from the dead. He is alive forevermore. He is the King of Glory. And you better, every nation better bow to this King of Glory.
Yes, amen. Kiss the Son, Psalm 2. Speaking to the nations, worship the Son. Hallelujah. The Lord in Christ. Rejoice. Tell your neighbor, rejoice. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Lo, he is with us every minute, every hour. All authority. He didn't keep it to himself. He gave it to us. Glory.
The other point, at the same time, I want to make, amen, yeah, give the Lord a big clap. Yes, sir. I want to make just a mirror point on the same thing. And see the contrast is at the same time that we see the awesomeness of the King of Glory, that he is God. At the same time, notice Jesus comes to those ladies and he says to them, I bet he's smiling. They're afraid, they've gone through some real trauma. And now they're seeing him risen. He says to them, rejoice. Then he says to them, don't be afraid. Now, angel says, go and tell his disciples he is risen. Jesus comes and says, go and tell my brothers, my brethren, they are my family. Tell them. And that, I want to contrast, at the same time, he is Lord and he is God. He's so full of total love and kindness and compassion. And the first thing he tells them is, don't be afraid. Nothing to be afraid of.
We see that again and again. You remember as part of his last saying when he was dying on Calvary was to John and to Mary, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. And then his mercy to Thomas, who, I don't believe it unless I see it. And he came in and he said, look, Thomas, believe it. And then he said to you and I, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Wow. Glory.
Amen.
It's so awesome.
So he's today, he's removing every heavy stone.
Hallelujah.
Today, he's loosing his angels to come help in every endeavor. Today, he's coming to empower each of you to make his blessing and his authority. Receive his blessing and then release his blessing. Go into all the world with that empowering authority and then show his kindness and show his love and his mercy. Hallelujah. So the song that came to me this morning, I wanted us to sing, and then Michael may have another song, but I want you to stand up. Raise your hand if you don't mind and say, we worship you.
We worship you.
Risen Savior.
Risen Savior.
You are Almighty God.
You are Almighty God.
You are Lord.
You are Lord.
And you are God.
And you are God.
And we choose.
We choose.
To worship you.
To worship you.
We receive your authority.
We receive your authority.
We receive your commission.
We receive your commissioning.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That in your kindness.
That in your kindness.
You have comforted us.
You've comforted us.
With this word.
With this word.
I am with you.
I am with you.
Always.
Always.
So I declare in faith.
So I declare in faith.
For me and myself.
For me and myself.
My family.
My family.
My children.
My children.
You are with us.
You are with us.
You are with my children.
You're with my children.
Always.
Always.
Watching over them.
Watching over them.
Guarding them.
Guarding them.
Guiding them.
Guiding them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your love.
For your love.
For your mercy.
For your mercy.
For your presence.
And for your presence.
Each day.
Each day.
I want to know more.
I want to know more.
Of your wonderful presence.
Of your wonderful presence.
For your promises.
For your promises.
You are with me.
You are with me.
Always.
Always.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. We worship you.
We worship you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Give him a big clap. So one of my favorite songs, when I first came into the church, I love that song, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. And is that all right? We ready to sing?
Crown Him with many crowns.
Raise your hands.
The Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly
life. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife.
Love you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo. And I want the healing team, if you'll hear, to please come and help us. For those who have a special need this morning, you need some prayer or you need the Holy Spirit baptism or you need to give your life to Jesus or you're out there somewhere and kind of lonesome. For God's spiritual family. He has made you for family.
Yes.
And we will welcome you. As if the Lord speaking to some of you, that this is your church home, to make this your home, we'll receive you. The people are here.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.